Gather. So thank you for your spirit that's that's filling this place and that your word that's going to be taught today.
Yes.
And I will open my mouth when you say to open it. So thank you, Father, for all these ears that are going to be opened and your word that's going to fill them and they're going to be blessed.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I've known for a long time that I was preaching this Sunday. And every time I tried to prepare, something would happen, and I just couldn't do it. All right, something would come up. Sometimes it was just me being lazy. But it was odd because I already knew what I was going to preach on. God told me, I want you to preach on why God hates sin. And it's fun because it's not, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about why God hates sin, but I know why God hates sin. I mean, I've learned why God hates sin. But I'm going to start with actually, a funny anecdote. The other day, I knew I was going to preach today, so I had to get a haircut because I was looking pretty disheveled. And I can't even count the amount of sins on the way to get my haircut. Anyways, so I leave the house. I'm running a little late, kind of probably mad at my wife because I'm late. I needed to get out of there, but no big deal. So I get to the stoplight, and I notice there's an accident at the crossing. And there's a guy in front of me, and he won't go. And I'm staring at these people in the accident. I can see them sitting in their cars. I can see their airbags are deployed. And I'm just thinking, this guy needs to get out of the way. I don't want to be late to my haircutting appointment. And I honk at him. I honk at this guy. Terrible. And he pulls off, and then he gets out and helps the people. And I'm thinking, well, good, he's going to help those people. And I drive on to my hair appointment to get my haircut. And about a third of the way through, I go, I'm not the Good Samaritan. And I love that story. I should have been the one that stopped and helped those people. And I totally just was the Pharisee or whatever. And I went and got my hair cut. So I did pray for the people that were in the accident. So hopefully that covered a little bit of it. But it's funny how God brings that stuff to your mind because you can see it and it's all there. And then God shows you, look how silly you are. You're just trying to get to a hair appointment. So, and there were people in need. So, God hates sin, and there's two different things, okay? So when you're a non-believer, sin is going to keep you out of heaven because God can't abide sin. But when you become a believer, God hates sin for a completely different reason. God hates sin because he has the best for us planned. And sin keeps us from getting the best that God wants for us. Every sin, it's funny, every sin, we were going through it the other night, and every sin kind of boils down to the same thing. It's just not trusting God or not, lying. I had a bad problem with lying. I was a really good liar. My mom can tell you that. I probably told the chocolate cake story, but she came home one day and said, did you eat the chocolate cake? No, Mom, I promise I did not eat that chocolate cake. And she said, if I didn't have chocolate cake all over my face, she would have totally believed me. Lying is, why is lying bad? It's bad. The Bible says it's bad, but it's a convenient thing. You know, you do it because you're selfish. You don't want to be caught. You don't want to be bothered by somebody. It's a total selfishness sin. And God wants us to be selfless. So, you know, it takes away God's ability to work through situations where we think it's going to be hard. When you know you need to say something to somebody and you don't want to because it's going to make them mad or make them sad, and so you lie. You make up a lie. Or when you're about to be caught for doing something you shouldn't and you lie because you don't want to be caught. I did that one a lot. I did not want to be caught because... And the silly thing is, the consequences are usually no big deal. You know, God, you know, your parents will spank you. Later on in your life, somebody might be upset with you. But when God is involved, there's love. And so the consequences are stupid. And so when you lie, you just make it all that much larger. There's this thing called gaslighting. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's kind of like a movie theater. Movies, they're all lies. It's just things that are made up. So when you lie to someone else, you create a whole new world in their mind. You say, you know, I went to the store. And so in their mind, they're going through the day thinking, oh, he went to the store. But really, you know, you went down to the bar. And so they're thinking, hey, you went to the store. And then they go, well, where's the milk? And then you have to make a, oh, I left it in the car and it went bad and I had to throw it away. And so it just keeps building, you know. So that's why, you know, that's one of the reasons God hates lying, because it creates this false world, and it just, and then, you know, we're all eat up with guilt, and then you have to remember the lie and you have to build on it. And it's like, it makes life not easy. So lying is, you know, God hates lying for that, you know, that reason, because it takes the joy out of life. It, you know, you can't be happy because you're always trying to figure out what's going on. Fear is another one. Fear is a huge one for a lot of people. I know I went through a period where work was hard to come by, and I was afraid to leave the house. And it'll grip you, and it'll keep. And the stupid thing is I assume when we get to heaven finally, and we see fear, he's probably going to be this little guy, and we're going to go, why in the world did we listen to that little guy? You know, he's not going to be some huge thing. It can keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And God has so many things planned for you, but fear, you know, fear of talking, you know, telling the Jewish people that Jesus loves them, or telling the Arab, I mean, the devil will do that. He'll, you know, we see in society, you know, you go, well, I'd love to tell people that, you know, God's the reason I believe the way I believe, but they may hate me, or they may say something bad about me, or they may, you know, they may come try to hurt me. But you know, how can they? God's protecting us. So fear is just I think that's the devil's number one. He loves fear. He loves to just put that on us, because then we can't do anything. And God's desire is for us to do everything, to go anywhere, to, you know, leap over a wall, you know, run through the troops. That's us. I mean, we can do that. We can do whatever God has planned for us to do something, and he's created everything for us to do that. Actually, a good way to get rid of fear is wahoo. You know, you just trust God and wahoo. You know, the devil can't stand it. The devil tempted Jesus 3 times. So every time it comes up, you just say, I don't have a spirit of fear. The Bible tells me I don't have a spirit of fear. The Bible tells me I don't have a spirit of fear. And God spoke the world into being, so speaking is powerful. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Speaking it over and over and over again, sooner or later, your flesh is going to have to listen to the Spirit, which listens to the Bible, which was written by God. So, lust is a big one. Man, I think a lot of people have problems with lust, and I'm not necessarily talking about people and people. I'm talking about stuff or whatever. And the problem with lust is it's because we don't realize that God has already given us everything, and so we desire. And it's funny because, like, you know, I'll look at some tool and I'll think, man, I really need that tool, and I'll do all my research on it, and I'll figure everything about it. I'll find the best price, and I need to get that tool. And after you get it, there's no joy there, you know. And it's like you realize, oh, I didn't need that. That was such a waste of money and time, and it was stupid, you know. But, you know, we in our mind think that's going to change my entire world. It happened a lot. Like, I love, my hobby is writing music, and I do software music. And there's always the newest, greatest, best coming out, and they're always, you know, advertisements saying how much better. But, you know, really, if you have no talent, you're not going to be able to do anything better with it. It's still, you know, if you can use what you have, you can probably do as many as amazing things with what you already own, instead of having to buy something new, because it isn't going to make you who you are. You are who you are. So, so the way to combat lust is to realize that God has already given you everything, and everything you have is perfect, and when you have need, he will provide. And so you don't have to seek or, you know, desire or anything like that. So guilt, that's one to me that is awful, Because, and I don't, I think because of growing up with my father, I don't really have guilt. Every once in a while, it'll try to creep in, but I don't really have a problem with it. But I think that holds a lot of people back. Because a lot of times it's misperception. You know, you feel like there's a problem there, and then if you're guilty, that you can cover your own sin by being guilty. You know, if I feel guilty enough, then my guilt is good enough, like Jesus's blood. Well, it's not. You know, Jesus's blood has covered everything. You know, you can feel guilty all your life, and all you did was just make yourself miserable. And Jesus wants you to be joyful all the time, you know, be happy all the time. And so guilt is just the devil's way of keeping us from being happy. So we sin. God knows we sin. God isn't surprised we sin. God isn't surprised we hurt other people. God loves us, you know, no matter what. So being repentant is different than guilty, you know. Oh, I saw I did that sin. Father, forgive me. But and then holding on to it, that's what a lot of people do. Oh, man, I did that sin. But as soon as you ask God for forgiveness for that sin, it's gone. It's covered. It's buried under the sea. You know, God's covered it in his blood. It's gone. Stop thinking about it. Move on. You know, God doesn't want us dwelling on our sin because he wants us looking at him. If you're looking at him, then you can't dwell on yourself. And we love to dwell on ourselves. I don't know. It's fun. We're pretty amazing. So it's funny. I talked about lying earlier, but then I didn't talk about false witness. I always thought that was interesting that the Ten Commandments, it wasn't lying, and didn't say, people always say, oh, it's lying. But no, it's just don't bear false witness, which is lying about someone else. Or so I don't know why I even brought that up. That's not even part of my sermon, but I just thought false witness is bad. Don't do it. Because you're hurting someone else, and God loves each one of us individually. You know, it's funny. God loves the people you think that are the most destructive in this world. God loves those people just as much as he loves you. God loves the person even though he hates their actions. And I think that's where a lot of people get mixed up. I got into an argument on the internet a couple weeks ago, and some guy will say, well, there's a lot of hate flying around here. And I said, no, I mean, so there's a difference between what someone believes and who someone is. I said, you know, hey, there's no hate here. There was just discussion, you know. So people have a hard time separating people's actions from the actual person. So God loves people, even though he hates their sin. The people, that's his joy. Even people that do wrong their entire life and go to hell, he still loves that person. So it was interesting. I was doing reading for this. I read Malachi, and it talks about, in Malachi, it talks about Cain, and it talks about how when Cain brought his tithe, it was because of his he was interested in his goods, you know, what he did, how good he was. He was interested in his own accomplishments instead of just being interested in his relationship with God. And so that's where Cain went wrong. Was it wasn't that his gift wasn't perfect, because it probably was, because he was an overachiever. It was because his heart wasn't right. You know, it was I can do this, instead of God, you gave me everything and I'm just giving you, I don't even know why you need it back, but here's back some of what you already gave me. So, you know, so again, that would be pride. You know, pride is a tough one. I was always afraid of pride. I think that's why the longest time I never sang in public or anything, because I thought, man, I know God has given me a gift of being able to sing, and I thought, I don't want to be proud, so I'm hiding that under a bushel, which is stupid, because the Bible tells us not to hide ourselves, you know, under a bushel. If God gives you a gift, use it. So pride is a tricky one, because we don't always see it, and it'll make you, well, the Bible even says, I was about to say, it'll make you stumble. That's a scripture. Pride goeth before a fall. And it's interesting, so I go throughout my life and I'm in my business, and when people will comment, oh man, you did such a good job, and I'll just immediately go, that was all God. You know, he helped me do the perfect work. He helped me do this job for you. He helped me, you know, create this garden for you or do sheetrock work or whatever. You know, and that way you immediately just, if you just take yourself out of the picture, if it was good, it was God. If it was bad, it was me. You know, just, that's how you take pride out of the picture. You just get rid of it, you know. Oh, something awesome happened. Thank God. He did it through me. God used me as a vessel. And that's what we are, you know. God created us as vessels. And we're overflowing with his goodness because he's in us and there's more of him. There's, you know, he's abundant. It's funny when you read the Bible because people make such a big deal about sin. And they're, you know, growing up, I went to a Baptist school and Baptists are huge on sin. They just love to beat you up over sin. But it's amazing how many characters in the Bible sinned. Pretty much all of them. Adam, Eve, Cain, you know. You even get to Noah. Noah was great, but then after the ark, he sinned, you know. He got drunk. So, and his sons had to cover him up. And when he caused one of his other sons to sin. And, you know, and it's just like, you get to Abraham. Abraham lied. And you get to David, and he didn't go to war. And so they ended up lusting. And, you know, and you just keep going through the Bible. And God loved each and every one of them. He had a purpose for each and every one of them. And they're all in there for examples for us to see, look what that guy did, and God still loved him. Look what that guy did, and God still loved him. Look at all those people. Those are in Jesus' lineage. You know, Rahab, the harlot, is in Jesus' lineage. If you read the lineage of Jesus, she's in there. So, I mean, you know, Ruth, you know, she's in there. You know, she didn't do anything bad, but, you know, I'm just saying, it's just, it's interesting. You know, God took someone who was broken and then put it into his family. He takes people that have problems, which we all have problems, but he takes people that you obviously can see they have problems, and then he brings us in and goes, here, I'm making you whole. I'm creating you. I'm making you perfect. I have a purpose for you. So, it was funny. I was reading through Philippians this morning, and I guess I'd seen this, but I'd never realized. Paul said, I wish that I could go home and be with God, but I know I still have stuff to do here on earth. I thought, even Paul, the guy that wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, was ready to go. He just was tired of this world. And I thought, that was really funny. I thought, he sinned right there. And he put it in the Bible so that we could read it. So, it's funny, I was going, my own desire to do good, actually the odd thing was when I wrote that this morning, the computer tried to fix it, it said, no, it's to do well. And I was like, no, I want to do good in there. My own desire to do good keeps me from doing good, I think from fear that I can't. And I think there are kind of two types of people in this boat. Those who will continue to try their entire life and be miserable, and those who go, well, I can't do it, so why try? So I think I'm in the latter boat. I'm like, well, if I can't do that, I'm not even going to try. So that's good that's God's plan. God's plan is stop trying, just let me do it. So God's peace, it passes all understanding, and that's awesome, because I know that as I'm going through life, I get little revelations here and there. The other night, I was at Young Adults. We moved it to Wednesday nights, and I was talking, and I realized, as I do my business, I mean, as a Christian, you should always do what's right in business. But I realized that I had this perception that if I always did right in business, God would bless me. And then I realized that's a wrong thought. The thought is, God will always bless me. Amen. And I can do right in business because I know I'm always blessed. God is going to bless me no matter what. I could do wrong, and God is still going to bless me. So people put that kind of thing in there, well, I have to be good, and that way God will be good to me. And we don't have to worry about that. God isn't worried about our sin. Our sin is our problem with not getting the fulfillment of God. God's, you know, it holds us back because we put it, it's in our mind. Our mentally, we screw ourselves up because we think things. You know, we live through this life and then we have ideas and then we see stuff and people tell us stuff and we read stuff and we see stuff on TV and then we forget what's in this word. That's why you always have to go back to the word. You have to renew your mind daily because the devil is very subtle and very sly, and he'll, like me, having this idea that if I was always good in business, then God would bless my business and he would bless me. That's the devil being very tricky. I think as you mature in the Lord, he has to be more and more subtle with his lies because he is the father of lies. So, I think you have to be grateful for what you have. And I've noticed, I've kind of noticed this through the years, and God has been showing me this. Like when I would go on vacation, I was always taking photographs and I would try to capture everything. And again, you know, when you're buying new tools or whatever, and I'm always trying to figure something out to better something. And then when God finally shows you that, to stop taking pictures of the vacation and just enjoy the vacation. You know, because you get to the end and you go, well, here's everything I did, but I don't remember any of it, you know. You know, instead of just, you know, stopping and smelling the roses or just enjoying your time with your family or, you know, enjoying the work day as you go through the day. I mean, because I spend a lot of time, because I'm by myself most of the time when I work, so I get to spend a lot of time with God. And, you know, just enjoy that. Stop trying to make things happen. Stop trying to make things fit. And just allow God to just work through you. God wants us to have heaven now. And when we fall into the trap of sin, because that's what it is, it's a trap the devil set us up for us, we miss out on little pieces that God has for us. I mean, God can redeem it. God promises that. Hey, I can redeem everything that you've lost. So you got to this point in your life, wow, I'm old, and there's no way God can redeem that and make the last years of your life amazing. Every day as you go through the day, ask God. I talk to God a lot, and I go, because the devil loves to bring fear, like especially when you have some big decision to make, he'll bring fear, and he'll say, oh, I'm not going to make this decision right. And you just stop. Like a big one right now is, you know, we're, you know, having to decide whether or not to continue doing vaccines for our daughter. You know, she had a reaction to one of them. We're like, well, we're done. And, you know, the doctors are all like, no, you got to do it. It's the best thing. And then you read everything on the internet, and you can read everything. And there's so many people that say it's great, and so many people that say it's evil, and so many people that say it's okay. And then you're like, well, it all just boils down to God. What do you want us to do? And stop listening to man. You know, you can fill your head with so much knowledge, but God is really the end answer. And then stand on that. Because a lot of people will pray and you go, I don't know if that was God. But, you know, God said he's going to cover it. So if you make the wrong decision, God will cover it. And that's a huge one. I mean, you don't want to ruin your child for life for, you know, being fearful. So because of man. Ask God about everything. And it's funny, as a kid, you think, God, ask him about everything? But yeah, everything. What you eat, you know, when to leave, when to, you know, how much time to stay in prayer every morning, you know, everything, you know, what to do in a situation. Right now, we're dealing with our neighbors. They kindly bought 2 pit bulls, and the dogs are constantly trying to get in our backyard. And so, you know, I had to reinforce our fence. And the first thing I did was call the city. I'm like, and they're like, well, sorry, we can't do anything because the dogs haven't done anything. I was like, oh, well, hallelujah. I thought, it probably wasn't the right thing. I probably shouldn't have gone to the city first. I probably shouldn't have gone to my neighbor first. So I have been going to my neighbor, and we've been trying to deal with it. And no matter what happens, I know God's going to work it out. The dogs can be crazy as can be, but I know God is there. He's got angels surrounding my house and my family. You know, he loves us. He's going to take care of us. That is a hard one. Like, I think going back and, you know, talking to people when you need to do something tricky, you know, like that, you know, because you don't want to offend your neighbor, but you want to protect your family. And so it's always best to just go talk. I mean, because I could call any number of people. I could call the guy's landlord and go, hey, is he supposed to have a dog? But then, you know, was that right to my neighbor? The Bible says, first go to the person, and then go with a friend to the person, and then, you know, go to the church elders. You know, the church elders would be his landlord, but you know, I mean, the Bible has an order for things, and it's on purpose, because it's to protect you, it's to bless you. And going back to the word every time, you know, you can see, oh, that's sin that the devil tried to trick me with right there. I could see God said, don't fall for that one. You know, God hates sin not because he hates sin. He doesn't care about. He hates sin because it keeps us from being completely blessed and totally in joy and at peace and just getting the most out of life. I mean, sin can waste so much time that we could be enjoying, you know, this world that he has made for us. I mean, it's interesting because we're going to be alive for forever. We go to heaven, we'll be alive for forever. But he still created this world for us to enjoy. I mean, and there, the good and the bad, it's all there, you know. Traffic. Some people hate traffic. Actually, I have a good time. I can talk to God for a long time while I'm sitting in traffic. I don't know, there's just no point. I do sometimes get angry and ask people. People in Dallas are terrible drivers, so. If I'm in Fort Worth, traffic is great. If I'm in Dallas, people need to learn to drive better. But it is, you know, just always look at every situation and go, God, what am I supposed to do in this situation? How can I get the most out of this situation? How can I be the most blessed out of this situation? Because that's God's desire for you, is to be blessed and to be happy. And I can truly say, even when I'm arguing with my wife, I can say, I'm happy. We could have an argument, and 2 seconds later, I'll be happy. And she'd be like, how can you be happy? I'm like, I just am, because God loves me. He loves me. So, you know, my wife is a blessing. My child is a blessing. I can't imagine a better wife than Mary. She is awesome. And she is, it's so funny, when I'm falling short, she is good to point me to God. And that is awesome. You know, how could a man ask for a better wife? You're not doing what you should. You're a Christian. You know, you're a man of God. You should be doing this. Praise God. And, you know, for a half a second, you go, and then you go, you're right. And you just go, all right, you're right. I should be doing better. You know, not doing, letting God do better through me, because I can't do better. So, don't let sin wreck your life. Because it will, and it's no big deal. I think people make sin to be this huge monster, and it's just a roadblock to keep you from, you know, it's just a speed bump to keep you from, you know, enjoying this life that God has designed for us. He'll take care of it. He promised that. He said, I will perfect you. He goes, in the end, you're going to be perfect. He's going to take care. Every time he'll show you a sin, but he's not showing you that sin to take care of it. He'll take care of it. You don't have to do it. He'll go, here it is. It's going to disappear shortly. Don't worry about it. You know, sometimes it'll creep back in, and that's just because the devil was trying to trick you to say, oh, you still have a problem with this sin. You go, no, God already took care of that. You know, I'm not, that sin is no longer a problem for me. So, are you guys happy all the time? Remember, it's by faith. Are you guys happy all the time?
Yeah.
That's right. That's by faith. And when you keep saying it, I am happy all the time. I am happy all the time. Sooner or later, your flesh has to listen to your spirit. So, sin is no big deal. Always repeat what the Bible says over and over and over again. And sooner or later, your life will start lining up with the word, because you're no longer listening to sin. You're listening to God. So, hallelujah. Love you guys.
Glory.
Love you. Thank you.